Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Welcome to Munchkin Land, a show where we sit around and we play games. Sometimes we talk about games. And that's what we're doing this week. And here's the thing. I know many of you were thinking, oh, Steven, I was heading over to your YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video, to check out this Ghostbusters game that you guys played like 6 months ago, and you've been promising it would be up on the site. Well, guess what, listeners? We had the opportunity to do a show live from Fort Hays State University at the Cat G meeting. And they're here. Oh, you can hear them. There they are.
Yeah. Actual audience.
And so we thought we would go ahead and put that out this week also because we have a sponsor this week for our audio podcast side. Our sponsor this week is Loot Crate. How many of you are Loot Crate subscribers? Let me hear a round of whoops and hollers.
Ooh.
What? Really? Come on. Okay, so what do you guys know what Loot Crate is? It's a monthly subscription box. It's full of awesome geek and pop culture-y goodness. Less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include T-shirts, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. April, I think for you guys, is a great month to get on board because the theme for April is Quest. Form a party to explore everywhere from far-off kingdoms to worlds hidden within worlds with exclusive items from Labyrinth, Harry Potter, History Channel's Vikings, and Uncharted 4. And, of course, you get that T-shirt and a loot pin to help equip you and your adventures. Now, here's the important part. If you're going to sign up for this Loot Crate, you need to do it by April 19th at 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific to get this month's crate. If you miss that deadline, April 19th at 9 o'clock p.m., you are out. So here's what you need to do. You need to head to lootcrate.com/munchkin and enter the code munchkin to save $3 on any new subscription. It is really that easy. lootcrate.com/munchkin, enter the code munchkin, save $3 off any new subscription. It's really that easy. Just sit back and wait for all the awesome to arrive, and it comes to your door. My kids love it. My wife loves it. Brad loves it.
Woo!
Yeah. That's right. lootcrate.com/munchkin. Thank you, Munchkin, thank you, Loot Crate, for sponsoring this episode of Munchkin Land. So we are here at Cat G, and Cat G's been around for a long time, especially at Fort Hays State University. And Rob, you're here this week.
Yep.
And you were a founding member of Cat G.
Yes. Cat G was actually founded here at Fort Hays State 12 years ago now.
Wow.
Holy
And you've only
crap.
Been graduated Old for man. A year now, right?
I graduated for 4.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we decided that just hanging out and playing games wasn't enough. We wanted to convince other people to do so for as long as we possibly could and started the club.
Yeah, and this is a nationwide organization, right?
Yes, it's actually international. The original president does English as a second language in China. And he's started up 2 different clubs because he's taught in 2 different locations there. He started up clubs there, and we've got clubs across the country.
Cool. So people can go check out their... I mean, this isn't just for college students, right?
No, it's open to anybody. I know we've got at least one high school that was actually in the... that does have a club. I don't know exactly where it is because I haven't dealt with any of it for a few years since I've been out of college for a few years.
Yeah, for a few years. 12 months, sure. So that's great. And really, Cat G, thank you guys for letting us come down here and record this episode. It's so much fun. Hopefully more people will listen to this, and you will have a ton of people coming to future meetings to play games. Now, we're going to talk about our favorite games that we've been playing over the last couple of years. And, you know, just a little background, I was not a gamer growing up. I didn't play video games because we couldn't afford it. So I'm excited to hit my mic. My parents couldn't afford video games, so I didn't do that. Didn't have board games, really didn't do that much. Didn't get into Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, I bought a couple of the AD&D stuff, Redbox stuff, back in the day, but I had no one to play with it because small school, everybody's jocks, Nerds don't look on those kinds of things. And so it just kind of sat there and didn't do anything until I started up Major Spoilers. And my friend Rodrigo, who's been on this show many a time, was talking about Dungeons & Dragons. Like, man, I've always been interested in playing Dungeons & Dragons. And so that turned into our Critical Hit podcast, which is a lot of fun, and a lot of people listen to it. And listeners, if you are checking us out and you haven't listened to Critical Hit, you want to learn how to play the game, go look for it in the Major Spoilers podcast network feed. You'll find it there. But then we went to Nerdtacular, was it 2002? I mean, 11, 12, something like that. 4 years ago, I think. Four or five years ago.
Yeah.
And Rob was like, hey, man, I'm going to bring a bunch of games. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, what are you going to bring? And Rob said, Munchkin. I was like, what is Munchkin? And Rob brought like 20 different versions of Munchkin, every version that was out at the time. And we were sitting around before one of the meetings, and I fell in love with Munchkin. I thought it was a fantastic game. And I said, somehow we've got to turn that into a podcast. And so for the last 4 or 5 years, we have been recording our Munchkin games and other games and sharing them with the rest of the world. And, you know, I think that if people aren't sure about board games, they could go and check out Cat G at their local university, or here if you're in the Hayes area, go check them out. I think they meet 6 o'clock on every Monday? Yeah. Every Monday at Rare Call 205. And go check them out there. But you'll get a chance to experience different games. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'll go down a game aisle and I go, what game do I buy? I mean, I don't know what any of this stuff is. And look at the prices on some of these things. Yes. I mean, there's one game that's like $700 just to get in on the ground floor.
What kind of moron would do that?
I don't know. But there's two of them sitting at this table.
Maybe so.
So one of the nice things about going to places like Cat G or your local gaming store if they have an open gaming night is that you get to experience other games. Mm-hmm. And so tonight, Rob, Brian, Dr. Will, and I are sitting here talking about our favorite games that we like to play that maybe you've not been exposed to before, or maybe if you've listened to this show, maybe some of those games are out there, but games that are just fun to play, and maybe that will be your entrance to the world of gaming. So we're just going to start, and we're going to do a round-robin style, and Rob, why don't you start us off with one of your favorite games that you enjoy playing?
All right, so I'm going to be kind of boring, and most of mine are actually going to be stuff we have played on Munchkin Land. One of them, the first one is Smash Up, which we've actually played quite a bit on Munchkin Land, but I love Smash Up.
How many of you know Smash Up? Anybody here know Smash Up? Oh, man, it is a fun game.
Yeah,
unless you're playing with Rob or Brian.
Ha. just the base concept of taking two random factions and mm-hmm. throwing them together to get weird combinations is just fun. And the fact that they keep producing new factions and there's so many factions to start with means that the possible combinations
are... There's like 40 or 50 of them right now, I think.
Yeah, there's enough different combinations that no two games are going to be alike.
Mm-hmm.
You can find some different combos. You can find... You know, what can be strongest, what can be weakest, but no two games are going to be completely the same just because of how many possible combinations there are.
So you could play Zombie Wizards, could be a faction that you play, or you could play Sharks, Cowboy Sharks, maybe not Cowboys. What?
I don't think we have Cowboys yet.
Not yet.
Play Shark Tornadoes.
You could play Shark Tornadoes. The combinations are literally endless. And it's not an expensive game to get in. I think it's like $30 or something for the starter set.
Maybe 40.
It's definitely worth it. 30. It's definitely worth it on that base set to pick it up, because literally just in the base set, you've got 36 different combinations that you can do.
Yeah.
And
actually, if you're interested in it and you don't want to drop the money on the base set, each of the expansions is playable standalone two-player.
Or two-player.
And so what's the point? What's the goal in Smash Up?
Use your faction to take over bases and get points based on the bases.
And the first one to 15 points win.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. I like Smash Up. It's a fun game. Brian, what do you have on your list?
I would say one of the funnest games that I really enjoy. It's not a very deep or complex game, but I find a lot of fun just constantly or repeatedly playing Bang Dice.
Mm.
We've been a longtime fan of Bang, the card game, the Spaghetti Western card game, for a long time. That was always a regular go-to whenever we had a pretty good sized group of people wanting to play games. We basically found Bang Dice. I feel that it streamlines and makes the game a lot quicker and easily approachable for even people that have even less interest in gaming generally. They can pick it up pretty quick, and it's a lot of fun. Some things don't always translate well to the dice game, like, you know, I do kind of miss the roaming dynamite stick, but no, Bang Dice is just a lot of fun for a quick game where if you want to get a good groove going.
When we shout out our games, you guys here, either shout out or raise your hand or something to let us know if you have played these games before. What about Bang Dice? Anybody here?
Yeah,
oh, you guys have played it a lot?
These people play before.
Okay, cool. You don't even know what it's about?
Don't know.
Oh.
You're never here.
That's why you need to show up so you can experience new games. Brad, what do you have on your list?
Okay, so I'm going to talk about, surprisingly, a Cthulhu H.P. Lovecraft game.
Okay.
Eldritch Horror.
I think like that game.
Yeah, it was an awesome, awesome game. And not even awesome because of the Lovecraft stuff, but awesome because really cool adventure game. You have a character, your friends have a character, it's a co-op game, you travel the globe, and you defeat one bizarrely giant Cthulhoid sort of Cthulhu mythos monster.
Now, this is quite different. A couple of weeks ago, I saw somebody brought in like Arkham Horror or something a couple of weeks ago. It's totally different from that game.
No. I wouldn't say totally different.
No.
I'd say it's probably a smaller, pared-down version of Arkham Horror.
Yeah,
it's make a funner, faster game.
Yeah, sort of a streamlined Arkham Horror 2.0 kind of.
Yeah. We played this at your house a while ago.
Yeah, we played.
It was a lot of fun. I was really surprised at how fun it was.
Yeah, it really feels like an adventure game to me. I mean, a lot of co-op games feel kind of puzzly. Pandemic feels kind of puzzly to me. But this one feels like my little guy is going out in the world and trying to kill these monsters, and I don't know, it feels very adventuresome to me. I love that game. And just today, Fantasy Flight Games announced a new expansion, Signs of Carcosa.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's exciting.
What's going to go on with that?
Well, as you might guess from the two key words in there, signs
and
Carcosa.
You and I are going to have a long talk about your fascination with the Yellow King.
Yes. Yeah. Huh? So this is all about
the King in Yellow.
The King in Yellow and Hastur and Great Carcosa and of course the Yellow Sign. So
and it's out today?
No, they just announced it.
Oh, okay.
Third quarter of this year.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, mine is one that I love playing with my son because he loves looking at all the cards and figuring out what combination is going to beat his dad or beat Rob or beat Brian. I don't think Dr. Will. I don't think you've played.
No, I never.
Or beat the guys at Hastings when we go up there to play. He loves Dice Masters, and I love Dice Masters as well. Anybody here play Dice Masters? Nobody? Oh, you've heard of it? Oh, man, what Dice Masters is it's a dice-building, deck-building game. So what you do is you have eight characters that you can have on your team, and what WizKids has released right now, you've got all the Marvel characters, you've got all the DC characters, you've got Yu-Gi-Oh! And Dungeons & Dragons are the four different sets that they've released, and they've released multiple sets of this. For $20, you can get a starter set that lets you and a friend play with four characters, and then you can get the foil packs to where you can try to build up your team, or you can buy a gravity feed like Rob and I do, and we build entire decks out of this. So if you're playing tournament play or tournament style, you're building a team of eight with a total of 20 dice, and you're attacking your competition with those dice to knock their life down to zero. And there's cool, interesting combos that can be done with the different characters, and some characters pair well with others. There's a great one with Batman and Robin that I like, where if Batman is fielded and Robin is also fielded, you can have Robin attack and no one can block him because Batman is there leading the attack. So you can, if you have a lot of Robins, and you can have up to sometimes four characters, four dice per character, you can do a lot of attacks that way, and it's really a lot of fun. And the nice thing is you're not limited to just those properties. So if you want the Marvels and the DCs to team together, if you want Spider-Man and Batman to team together on your team, you can do it. The mechanics work throughout all of the different releases that they've had. But for $20, it's a great game to get started with, and it's a lot of fun. Rob, what do you have as your next one?
Oh, my next one. I really like deck building games.
Yeah.
like Dice Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite deck building game at this point is another game that we've played a couple of times. It's Marvel's Legendary.
I love that game.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to hear me say that on all the games you guys mentioned. I love that game.
No, I've put so much time into Legendary, and I'm still not remotely bored with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was finally excited to get the Captain America 75th Anniversary
expansion.
Was that
at the store? Because it was not there when I got it, when I went there the other day.
I had special ordered.
Oh, okay.
So I picked that up on Friday. We finally gotten to play that a couple times over the weekend. And it's a blast. It works just like any other deck building game. You know, everybody starts with mm-hmm. the same stuff, and you're building your team of heroes the entire time to fight the villains and make sure whatever mastermind is trying to pull off whatever scheme mm-hmm. doesn't.
Yeah, we do have a legendary game coming up on our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video, a couple of weeks from now, probably about a month or so from now, to check out if you've never seen it. But anybody here play Legendary? A couple of you?
Yay.
Oh, man, you got to bring Legendary down because that is a fun game to play. Oh, you play Rob's game? Okay. But yeah, it's a fun game to try to beat. And the cool thing is there are so many different villains and schemes out there now that, again, it's kind of like Smash Up, where you could run the same game multiple times and never have the same team, the same villain, the same scheme, any of that stuff.
So many villains, so many schemes, so many masterminds, so many different heroes.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you only get a small subsection of each of them each time.
Yep.
So every game is different.
If there is somebody out there that wants to be super nice and make Rob's day, he is super, super looking for the Fantastic Four Legendary set. If someone, hopefully Matthew, if you're listening, Matthew Bach, who's up there in Nebraska, he probably has this. But the Fantastic Four expansion set was released once, and it's never been re-released again. For some reason, Marvel has something against anything having to do with the Fantastic Four at the moment. So if you go and try to find this game, it will the expansion, just, and then there's, what, 52 cards or something in the expansion?
It's a small expansion. The retail price is like $15.
$15 for the expansion, yet online it's going for anywhere from $200 to $800, depending on where you're looking. But if someone really wanted to make Rob's day, they could send us the Fantastic Four expansion for Legendary. So if you do have it and you want to send it, reach out to me and let me know. We'll get you hooked up. Rob's birthday is when?
August.
August, so you don't have that much time. Hurry. Legendary, great game. Brian.
Another game that we've had a lot of fun with that, despite being a licensed game, is really great standalone, even if you don't have any real knowledge of the property. It is Battlestar Galactica.
What is this game about?
Basically, you play a crew aboard this Battlestar mm-hmm. and trying to escape from the Cylons, except for some of you may or may not be Cylons.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, betrayer mechanics always keep things interesting. And so, it's a mostly cooperative game. Again, mm-hmm. Besides whatever Cylons you might have in your group.
Right.
It's just a lot of fun where you got to, like, try to overcome various obstacles, and there's, like, a blind bid thing where you try to contribute resources, and some people can sabotage secretly to, you know, make that not happen. And
cool. What's the base game start, do you know? What's the starting price?
No clue.
Okay.
I don't even know. Is it still?
60 range, probably.
I mean, this is an older one. I would have no clue if it's still in print.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. I would imagine.
Cool.
But yeah, if you see it, I would suggest picking it up. It's a fun little mostly cooperative game that
mostly cooperative.
Mostly cooperative.
You can potentially people in a brig or out in airlock, so
hey,
always
you,
fun.
You randomly get dealt whoever is the Cylon.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, so it's
yes.
like who's Hitler, the secret
yeah.
Hitler.
And there's two such deals. So even if you don't know you're a Cylon through half the game, in the second half you can suddenly
discover
find
that
out.
You're a Cylon.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yes.
That's what happened to me.
Oh, and you loved every minute of it.
Oh, God, yes.
Brad, what else do you have?
All right, my middle game is also a semi-co-op, but it is a semi-co-op Euro, which almost doesn't make sense. Archipelago from 2012, which was a really killer, awesome game.
Trading in the Mediterranean.
Yes, yeah, trading in the Mediterranean. No, it's in the Bahamas, actually. It's about the horrors of European colonialism and exploiting native people. So there's that downside to it.
Fun.
But other than that, an awesome game. Now, I will confess, though, never actually played it with other people. I have played Archipelago.
So you've been playing by playing
only,
with yourself?
I've been playing with myself. Thank you, Stephen. because here we are at the university where I'm a dean, or assistant dean at least. Wow, that was nice. Thanks, bud. Anyway.
Always
totally,
glad to
totally
throw you
lost
that
my chain of thought there. Oh, I know what it was. Solo expansion. So the game comes with a solo expansion. And really, really cool solo play. But multiplayer, like the real game is, also looks like it'd be really cool because it has all the mechanics of a Euro, worker placement, all that business, with the added business of negotiation and betrayal and a lot of player interaction, which is not usually a feature of a European game. So my number two, Archipelago.
Cool. My number two is a game that literally you can play in the lunch line or as soon as you're done with lunch or whatever. It takes just a few minutes to set up and play. It's Love Letter. More specifically, Batman Love Letter.
Of course.
If you don't know what Love Letter is, it's basically you're trying to guess who has a particular card or a suit or a ranking or a character in this game. And if you're wrong, you're out. And if you're right, the other player is out. Right? And within about 10 minutes, you can have a complete game played. And as you finish this game, you get these little cubes, or in the case of the Batman version, you get these little bat symbols, which are pretty awesome. And you just collect them. They have, I think, more than three versions, but we've played the three versions. We've played Love Letter, we've played Munchkin Loot Letter, and then we've played Batman Love Letter.
Have you played actual Love Letter?
Well, I have. Maybe you guys haven't.
Yeah. No.
But it's a less than $20 game. We gave away a whole bunch of them last year at Nerdtacular.
It's like an $8 game.
An $8 game.
I might suggest to you to check out Lost Legacy.
Yeah?
It's a kind of a reprint of Love Letter. Like each box comes with like two different Love Letter style
decks.
Neat. They have different abilities, and so you can mix and match. Basically,
cool.
Just swap out one suit for another of the same value. And
very cool.
Yeah, you can customize your Love Letter experience.
Yeah, this is something abilities. That you guys can pick up here locally, and it's super cheap. It's super fun, and you get four or five people playing it at the same time, and you can blow through that game so quick and have a lot of fun. I mean, literally, at lunchtime, you could play a game in 15 minutes.
Easily.
So, yeah, easily. So that's number two on
my
list.
One thing to say about Love Letter in that I like basically every version of Love Letter other than the original Love Letter better.
Yeah.
Just because the flavor that they've managed to pull from all the other ones works better with the mechanics than the original one.
Yeah, original Love Letter is kind of meh. I mean, it's a good game, but the flavor is just not...
The flavor and the mechanics don't really meld that well.
Although
Batman Love Letter was great. Munchkin Loot Letter was great. Adventure Time Love Letter is actually great.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a Hobbit Love Letter. There you go.
They've got...
Oh, Mr. Frodo.
40 or 50 different versions of Love Letter.
And it's such an easy one to just skin with another with another theme. And it's like printing gold. Really. That's how popular I think that franchise is.
We should do a Cat G Love Letter.
Oh, there you go. Figure that out. I mean, we actually did our own Munchkin expansion set, the Critical Hit Munchkin expansion set that we gave away. What's that? Oh, Rob's always the princess. He always loves playing the princess.
I'm the prettiest.
You are.
Her name is Brick. And she is the prettiest.
Rob, what do you have next on your list? I guess we're down to our final ones, aren't we?
Yeah.
Wow,
so
okay.
I've actually kind of got a tie for my number one.
Cheater.
Wow.
Yes, I'm cheating.
No surprise.
So partially because one of them really doesn't fly with Munchkin Land. My favorite game is Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Like, your number one.
Hands
was.
Down, my favorite game is Magic the Gathering.
Rob goes to tournaments. You just went to a tournament not too long ago, didn't you?
Pre-release weekend was last weekend.
And how'd that go?
I took first in the first and last flights, and I did terribly in the three flights in between.
Oh, no. So what'd you come out overall? Third place?
No, it's just different. They're separate tournaments.
Oh, okay.
Like, there was five tournaments that weekend. I did all five of them. I took first in two of them.
I knew that when we started, I guess we were coming back from Nerdtacular. This must have been the same year that that you introduced me to Munchkin Land, which really kind of opened up me playing all these other board games. I mean, literally, I had a zero game collection to now I have stuff spilling all over the floor at my house.
Yeah, welcome to the hobby. Yeah.
I did not know how into Magic Rob was. I'd played Magic myself and played it with Rodrigo and stuff, but until Rob started talking about tournaments and tournament wins and, mm-hmm. and the monies and things that he makes off of that, I really became impressed with how big Magic is. And I know here locally Magic is just bonkers crazy.
Yeah. And we're kind of a tiny community comparatively.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Magic's in its repeated best year ever, like 7 years in a row at this point. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just constantly growing. But, I mean, it's my favorite game. It's been my favorite game for ages, and it's probably going to be my favorite game for a long time. But I knew it wasn't Munchkinland type material.
Right, right.
So my actual number one pick.
No, that's fine. I mean, that is a game.
Whatever the next game happens to be introduced to me. I love trying new games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's certain genres that don't always click with me right away, but just whatever the newest game is, I will eat it up.
Okay. Brian, what do you have?
Another one of my favorite games that always seems to get a lot of play in many of the groups I hang out with is Betrayal at the House on the Hill.
Mm.
That is just a fun little
And what is it? What's it about? It's a horror theme
game. Yeah, you're exploring this haunted house, mm-hmm. and eventually a betrayer. That seems to be a theme in my games. A betrayer is revealed, and then all of a sudden it becomes a many versus one situation where you're trying to survive this final haunt, and that's where real fun comes in. That you get basically a different adventure. In just about any game, and yeah, so you got a different scenario. You got to survive.
I've not played this game. I think I've seen it.
Scenarios, I think
something like that. How many?
50.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it takes you a while to play through all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's. Or you could always just choose one if you happen to get the same one, but it's all dependent upon which thing you pull and which room. So it's kind of themed on basically those two items.
And a lot of times, those two items are necessary.
Yes. And it's just a fun.
Is it like a weird version of Clue?
Nope.
Okay.
If anything, it seems to be kind of a proto. Is definitely an inspiration on the Dungeons and Dragons adventure game.
Oh,
system.
Okay. All right.
The Castle Ravenloft.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you're building the houses.
I do like those games too. Man, there's so many games I could have put on my list. We could have done a top 10, and
we
would have not had any crossover. Yeah, I knew what your number one was going to be, Rob, but. Wow, okay.
And now I suddenly realize I never mentioned Robo Rally.
Robo Rally.
We'll do a shout out of a bunch of others here in a second. But so what does it cost to get into
Haunted
House?
Man, they just reprinted it recently.
Oh, okay.
40 is what I paid for mine.
See, like 40, 50 bucks, $33 60, I'm seeing from the audience.
60 now? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
I guess I got mine like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But, I mean, some of these tabletop games are getting more expensive as you have more components in them. I mean, I was really surprised that the Ghostbusters game from Cryptozoic was close to $100 buying it retail.
$80 MSRP?
Yeah, with the tax, though, it was like $106 or something. So it was quite up there. So, but it's worth it. I mean, it's something that when you have, what'd you say, 50 different
scenarios,
that's going to keep you busy for a while. So a buck a scenario is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Buck 10, whatever. So
and it's up to 6 players, which is
a good
that's
size.
A lot of people. Yeah. Brad?
I bet you can't guess. Well, my number one is. Can you do that, Stephen?
I'm guess.
Risk. Not Risk.
Oh, no. Risk.
Although Stephen has called it Risk before.
I said it kind of feels like Risk.
No, it does not.
It does.
My favorite game is, of course, the awesome Cthulhu Wars.
Wow, that is a fantastic game. And when you first introduced me to it, I was like, what is this craziness?
Yeah.
And the madness has consumed me to the point where I went out and bought into the base set and the second edition, which is out on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. My credit card thanks me, too. My credit card company.
We've played Cthulhu Wars on the YouTube channel a couple times. We played Cthulhu Wars here at the Cat G sessions a couple times. And dang, what an awesome game. Sandy Peterson's 2015 game. And I don't know. I'm still painting like a fiend. So I've got a ton of gates painted up, and we're still going on the new expansion.
Yeah, I literally have not taken mine out of the box since the. Because here's the problem. If I open it up, I'm going to go, look at all these figures that aren't painted as cool as Brad's.
There is that issue.
I have an unemployed roommate with art skills.
I know. That's true. I need to talk to him.
If I ever get some extra money, he needs to be painting my Super Dungeon Explorer.
You guys played it with Brad a couple of weeks ago, right? What'd you guys think?
Oh, that was great.
An amazing game.
Yeah. It really is. And the cool thing is, providing that Brad is not the king in yellow every single time or Haster every single time, you can literally have a different game. Yeah. What is it, two more times I can say it? And then the Biaki comes and takes me away?
Yeah.
I thought the Biaki was the blue guy.
No, Biaki is one of the
free
one
agents.
Of the king in yellow guys.
Yeah. All right, so my number one should come as no surprise. It's the thing that started me down this crazy board game spiral death trap hole.
Yahtzee.
It is Yahtzee. No, it's Munchkin. And, you know, again, there are so many different flavors of Munchkin that are out there that you could find one to kind of meet your needs at any time. And there's something about it that it's tongue-in-cheek. It's got a lot of punny humor in it, which I like. And then there's this thing that you can work to try to get to level 10 first while stabbing your friends in the back and have a lot of fun doing it. And like I said, there's a lot of different flavors. My favorite combo, though, is the Cthulhu cowboy. What is the cowboy one?
The good, the bad, and the munchkin.
The good, the bad, and the munchkin. Combining those two together is fun because you get this Old West horror theme with it. But I know, Cat G, you guys are trying to build up a collection or a library of games so that people can check them out and use them. So I'm going to donate this copy of Munchkin Legends from Steve Jackson Games to you guys tonight so that you guys can play and check it out. I'm guessing everyone here has played Munchkin or not played Munchkin?
Yeah.
Some of you have? That's what you like to play?
Never played.
Okay. Never played. Well, tonight would be a good night to play it. So there you go. Number one for me, Munchkin. What else did you have as your other number one, Rob? Because there's another one that I can throw in that nobody's mentioned yet. But go ahead. What was your other number one?
My other number one was whatever the next.
Oh, the other next game. Yeah. Okay. And what'd you say? Robo Rally.
If I had thought about it before, that'd probably be my number one slot. It's just fun ridiculousness. Basically, you're playing robots, you know, in a rally race trying to hit the flags in order.
Oh, cool.
And the interesting thing is that you get so many cards based on your life, and you have to like put them down in order to figure out your move for turn.
Yeah.
And so you got five moves, and so, you know, you got people bumping you and trying to navigate treadmills and.
And Spinbot spins.
Yes. It's actually also a Richard Garfield game.
Yes. It is also a Richard
Garfield
game. It was
the reason Richard decided to sell Magic.
Yes.
Indeed.
He wanted to make money so he could sell his Robo Rally.
So he sold Magic.
So that's why he made
Magic
and sold it to...
Okay, I can see that logic.
Yeah. Speaking of Richard Garfield, though, another great game that I didn't hear mentioned, King of Tokyo.
King of Tokyo, yeah, I enjoy playing
Speaking
that game.
Speaking of Yahtzee, for that matter, it's kind of a Yahtzee reskin. And,
after we taught, my son and I taught my wife to play, she actually enjoys that game, too. It's real easy to play. You guys play King of Tokyo? They also have King of New York, and is there a third one?
I don't think there's a third one yet.
Okay, there's a bunch of expansions. There's a Halloween expansion and something else.
Yeah, there's a bunch of character expansions.
Yeah. Nobody mentioned Sentinels of the Multiverse.
No.
I considered that one. That
you thought I was
going to
put it
there.
On my list.
Put it going to be up on the list. Let's see. Yeah, no, Sentinels of the Multiverse is great. It's a co-op game that doesn't feel too puzzly.
No. It's can be challenging, especially on the last one that we
very
played.
Oh, my God. Poor John.
Do you disagree with that assessment?
Poor John. Poor John. Wait, have you posted that game yet?
I don't know if that one's gone up yet.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gone up yet.
Yeah, poor John would not be my assessment of that game.
Now that I remember, yeah.
That's not how I would.
It can be. How many, anybody here play Sentinels in the Multiverse? Again, it's another one that's a fun game. That, again, infinite potential, and they just finished the Kickstarter not too long ago for the final version of Sentinels of the Multiverse. Mm-hmm. So I think Brian, is it you, Brian, that has the whole thing?
No.
Oh, okay.
John
has the whole of it. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, no. Two people with all of it.
I think I'm going to be the next one that has all of it. So it's so much fun. I do enjoy playing that game so much.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. But really, all the games that we've mentioned. Brad, did you have anything else? I love Cthulhu Wars.
Oh, there's a bunch of stuff. Robinson Crusoe, we didn't talk about. Dead of Winter is awesome.
Cthulhu Dice.
Evolution's a new one that I've really gotten into.
Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride's always a great one. Carcassonne is one of my favorites, but nobody will play with any.
I will play with you, but we're going to have a talk because I still think that there's a difference between the tablet version and the real version.
Maybe.
Because I've seen them played differently on both versions.
I literally have every expansion for it, which is why no one's willing to play with me anymore.
Too many rules.
Carcassonne?
Yeah.
That's Catan.
Oh, Catan, sorry.
Okay, yeah.
So Catan's also another classic.
Yeah,
it is great.
Yeah. So
we not mention Lords of Waterdeep?
Lords of Waterdeep. Oh, I like that was another that one too. I was thinking about. That's a fun one, a fun little worker placement game with random elements.
Let me ask you guys a question. Why are tabletop games, and maybe they're not, why are tabletop games more fun than sitting around and playing a video game?
You're interacting with other people.
Yeah, I think it's the group engagement. Yeah, it's just getting together with friends or just friendly acquaintances and sitting down and chewing the fat. And
it's tactile.
Right.
The thing because I'll play Eldritch Horror by myself. I'll get that whole damn map out there and the thousands of little cards, and I'll shuffle the little cards.
There is a single version. You can play that single player.
Yeah, you can play that solo fine, yeah. Yeah, and I don't think I would play it on the computer if it existed, because there's something about having that table and all my little guys and all the little cards, and it's and that makes me sound suddenly really sad.
So. No, I mean, you need to move your risk team around from one country to another. I understand. Yeah. What are some of your favorite games?
Red Dragon Inn.
What's that? Clue? Oh, what is that?
Coup.
You don't know
Clue? I don't know that.
Coup.
No, I don't know that one.
Yeah.
Coup is a fantastic game about killing everybody else. You're dealt two roles randomly. Nobody else knows what they are. They have certain actions that you can do, but you can actually do any action in the game. And it's all about bluffing and getting enough advantage to kill off all your
opponents. Oh, cool. Interesting. What else?
Red Dragon Inn.
Yeah. Red Dragon Inn? Yeah. That's a card game, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gambling and drinking.
Yeah, I've seen that. I haven't picked it up.
It's a card game similar in style of card game to something like Sentinels, where each player has their own specific
character, and
you have a unique character with unique mechanics, and you're trying to be the last one sober,
sober and with money in the tavern after an adventure, because you're
most health,
or not passed out. Yeah, I guess sober
you're awake
is not
and not broke.
Yes. Awake like, and not broke.
It sounds
conscious.
Sounds like
my Friday nights.
like between issues of Rat Queens.
Kind yes,
of
basically. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Anything else that you guys love playing? Arkham Horror? Okay.
Arkham Horror is a good one.
Caverna.
Caverna is good. Great. Yeah. Caverna is
I have
huge.
Not played that yet.
A nice Euro, that one, yeah.
Yeah, the Caverna was mentioned at Nerdtacular last year.
Oh, right, during our
board it's
game,
the one about dwarf farmers.
Oh, okay. All right.
The guy who's remember was just all Matt, over about everybody. The entire hour we were there.
Yeah, no, he really gives a kick out of that.
We played a game with, maximum amount of players.
Nice.
Yeah, it was the biggest game ever.
Cool.
So.
Yeah.
I still need to give me a copy of Saboteur. That was fun.
Saboteur
was good.
Just real quick, we did the what's coming up, what games we're excited about coming up. Marvel Munchkin is coming out this week, I believe. The 13th is the release date on that. I have not seen it. I mean, I've seen the cards. I don't think it's as punny in its gameplay, but basically it's using the mechanics that USAopoly is putting it out. It's got the same kind of mechanics as the Adventure Time game where you take on a character. Well, basically you're a SHIELD agent.
Oh.
But then you power up, and so let's say you want to power up with the Iron Man armor. Well, a level 1 has the first version Iron Man Mark 1 armor. And then as you power up, it'll have the different versions of the armor on that. That's set up to come out this week, I believe, is when my Amazon list said it'd be released on the 13th. Yeah, so it's supposed to come out then. Cannot wait for that game to get here. And I've been talking about it on and off for a while that I wanted to mention. It was One Deck Dungeon, which is one that I've been, you guys know anything about this One Deck Dungeon thing? Mm-mm. Finally found out this weekend that it's a game that they are finally getting ready to kickstart in May. But it's, what do they call them, a roguelike game where it's one or two people just try to run through this dungeon, and it's a card shuffling game to see how long you can survive. And the developer was on Twitch playing it, and I popped up on my feed, and I was like, okay, finally I'm going to get some information about this, because it's not on the company's website or anything, but they'll have a Kickstarter for that in May. Really looking forward to that game.
Now, will they have potions with random effects like in a roguelike?
They do have I only got to see him play one of the characters, which was a archer. But yeah, they do have health and some spells and potions that you can throw out at the monsters. It looks really interesting, and they're finalizing it right now, but looks really, really good. All right, anything else this week, guys? Yeah. All right. Want to thank Cat G for having us here at Fort Hays State University, and we're looking forward to seeing more people get involved with Cat G in the future. So look them up at your university. I'm sure you can find them. And also, once again, thank you to Loot Crate for sponsoring this episode of Munchkin Land. Be sure to head over to lootcrate.com/munchkin. Enter the code Munchkin. Save $3 off on a new subscription. And until next time, remember, it's not cheating if you don't get caught.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.